Now it's the time you've been waiting for. You're in the mix with film producer Jason Slack, a.k.a. the talk of the town now. The 40 Vision Films man himself. The owner of the Jason Slack brand. The place to be is here on the Vision Live Network. And now, let's get it in. Welcome to the Slack is Talk podcast.
Welcome to the Slack is Talk podcast, a.k.a. the talk of the town now. I'm your host, film producer Jason Slack. And today is Thursday, March 24th, 2022. And we here rocking out on the talk of the town now, here on the special episode of the Slack is Talk. So without further ado, let's get it in. And as always, welcome back to the show. Thank y'all for rocking out with me. If it's y'all first time listening, I want to thank you. But just don't stop by, man. You know, go to your favorite podcast platform. Hit that subscribe button, man. And have new episodes delivered to your device whenever one becomes available. Now, in this week's show, I wanted to have a little fun with this one, man. You know, just in case if y'all haven't known, or haven't heard, rather, my man Mace has come out of retirement yet again. This time, he dropped the Oracle Part 2, this and none other than P. Diddy. Yeah, y'all heard me right. His long-time boss and collaborator, P. Diddy. Now, I heard the song. It's a good song, man. It's a good song. It's all right. It's not his best work. The Cam'ron diss is better. The Cam'ron diss was definitely better. But on this one, it's more personal. You know what I'm saying? You know, Diddy is who he came up with. You know what I'm saying? And in many ways, you know what I'm saying? Back in the 90s, man, you couldn't see one without the other. They was on, you know, each other album. They was on all the songs practically and all the videos. And they damn near had the same gimmick. You know what I'm saying? With the shiny suits and everything. You know what I mean? They went hand in hand with each other, man. You know what I'm saying? I don't understand how they never did a joint album. But you could say all their albums were joint albums because they were all featured prominently on, you know, every song and stuff like that mainly, you know what I mean? But when I heard the song, it reminded me of something. It reminded me of an old argument that I used to have all the time with my older brother, man. Shout out to my brother Chill. You know what I'm saying? I know you go listen to this episode. Everybody know, in case you were living under a rock, everybody know that I'm a Tupac fan. That's my man. You can't tell me nothing about Pac. You know what I'm saying? In addition to being a Tupac fan, I was always a Death Row fan. You know what I'm saying? I was a Death Row fan even before Pac got there. I was a Death Row fan from day one. When Dr. Dre came over and he left NWA, I was there from day one before the Chronic. 187, you know what I'm saying? Him and Snoop. I was there with Death Row. And, of course, I'm from New York. Jamaica, Queens. 40 Projects, baby. Jamaica, Queens. And, of course, my brother's from New York, too. Now, to me, good music is good music, man. You know what I mean? Whether it's from New York, L.A., St. Louis, Houston, whatever. Good music is good music. But now, my brother is New York. You know what I'm saying? He was a Bad Boy fan. Their headquarters is in New York. You got, you know, Biggie, of course, was from Brooklyn. You know what I mean? Mace and all of them from Harlem. My brother was a Knicks fan. Just everything New York. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm a Death Row fan. My brother's a Bad Boy fan. So, you already can see where I'm going with this. But now, we're not necessarily talking about the East Coast-West Coast war. But what used to come up a lot is how, you know, Suge Knight wasn't paying the artists. You know, how he was robbing them. People wasn't getting what they deserved. They had bad contracts. You know what I mean? Et cetera, et cetera. You know what I mean? Which is true. Which is true. And my brother, he used to always make the statement, like, you don't hear that from Bad Boy. You know, you don't hear Biggie's mother's complaining and all that kind of stuff. You just don't hear that. You know what I mean? And I used to tell him, even back then, I don't know, man, you know, about your boy, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, just because you don't hear stuff don't mean it's not happening. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, maybe Suge is more out in the open with his, but, you know, and your boy is like, you know, behind the doors, closed doors or whatever, but it doesn't mean that it's not happening because you don't hear it or it's not publicly everywhere. You know what I'm saying? I used to say it back then. Now, in the case of both labels, Death Row started back in 91, give or take. Bad Boy started like maybe 93, 94. So, just to give like a good range, a good number, both labels have now been around either 30 years or close to it. You know what I'm saying? So now that 30 years have went by, and you know, of course, you know, Pac and Big, they passed away. And now you could kind of look at all the artists on both labels, and you could kind of get a clear picture of what actually was happening, like who was getting what. And you know, we can now take a look back and see what has been going on through those years. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot has changed. A lot of people have come out and spoken publicly. So we could kind of like look at, you know, kind of like where are they now type of thing. You know what I'm saying? Let's revisit this. Now, since he got the new diss track out, you know what I mean? Let's start things off with Mace. Now, I'm going to say this. If you was a Bad Boy fan, you could be the biggest Bad Boy fan in the world. After Biggie died, if you didn't think, if you was to tell me that you didn't believe that Bad Boy was finished, you're lying. You a liar. And I'll tell you that to your face. Everybody thought Bad Boy was dead in the water. I mean, because they didn't have anything. You know what I'm saying? Mace was unknown at the time. He was just coming onto the scene, really. The Lox was there. They was just coming onto the scene. And he had Kim. Now, I don't think Little Kim was ever signed to Bad Boy. But she was there for Big. You know what I'm saying? Everybody know that. The Lox was signed by Diddy, but they was there for Big as well. You know what I'm saying? The Lox is from the street. The Lox is, they hardcore artists. They street artists. Diddy don't know what to do with that. And you seen how that situation played out. You know what I'm saying? So Kim and Lox, they were there for Big. You know what I'm saying? That those situations were only going to work if Biggie was involved. You know what I'm saying? Now, Mace was the guy that kept it alive. He kept it alive, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, he wrote mostly all of Puff's album. You know what I'm saying? Which did numbers. And then when Harlem World came out, he took over, man. You know what I'm saying? It was like nothing ever happened for a minute. You know what I'm saying? Like, he did that. And it kind of came out of nowhere. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think people knew Mace was nice, but to see like how successful it was, I think it was kind of like a shock to some people. You know what I'm saying? And to me, like, if you Diddy, you got to take care of him. You know what I'm saying? Like, how you not take care of him? You know what I'm saying? He the one that kept it going. You know what I mean? He kept you in business. You know what I'm saying? He extended the Bad Boy run. You got to take care of that dude. Now, everybody know, like, it was kind of short-lived because Mace retired. And to his credit, like, he admitted that he signed the contract. You know what I'm saying? He admitted that. He admitted that he made the mistake. But it's just certain things that, as a man and as a business person, you got to honor. You know what I'm saying? Like, regardless of what the contract says, it's certain stuff that you should want to do. You know what I'm saying? Period. Now, moving over to Suge, as far as that, you know what I'm saying? Dr. Dre, who is Death Row, he was the reason why Death Row was successful, without a doubt. You know what I'm saying? The greatest producer in the world. Everybody knows this. When Dre left willingly, on his own terms. You know what I mean? He came out and said that he didn't want anything. Now, just because he did that, should Suge have paid him anyway? Absolutely. 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 Without a doubt. But Dre left on his terms. Now, let's get into the two biggest artists, Snoop and, of course, Pop. Now, when you look at them two, anybody that's owed money, they should get their money. You know what I'm saying? We not trying to say, like, it's all right that, you know, so-and-so ain't get paid. We just, like, looking into it. We analyzing the situation. Now, when it comes to Pac and Snoop, I could say that Suge took advantage of an opportunity. And what that opportunity was, both Pac and Snoop was both facing jail time. In Tupac's case, he was already locked up. And in Snoop's case, Snoop was facing a very serious charge, a murder charge. You know what I'm saying? Where he was facing life. You know what I'm saying? And let's get into Snoop first. When his situation started, it was at the beginning of Death Row. It was right at the beginning, right at the height of his career. He almost didn't get a chance to finish Doggy Style. You know what I'm saying? If you look at it, if you have the album, which if you don't, it's a shame on you, man. One of the greatest albums ever. The album is real short. It's only like 52 minutes or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Back then, a CD, an album was at least an hour and some change. You know what I mean? If you look at the songs, they was very short, like a lot of skits on there. And it's because they had to rush to finish the album because he was dealing with that court case. Now, what happened was Suge had a lawyer named David Kenner, and Suge was taking care of the lawyer fees, and he was doing all he can with trying to get Snoop out. Snoop was the best artist on Death Row at the time. So, of course, Suge being the smart man that he is, I'm going to do what I got to do to get Snoop out. And he did that. You know what I'm saying? But now, what Snoop probably didn't know at the time was, like, Snoop was responsible for paying that money back. Now, did Snoop pay with interest and all that? And you know what I'm saying? Like, nobody really knows the numbers. You know what I'm saying? He probably did. You know what I mean? But a lot of his money was taken out of that, whether being right or wrong. You know what I'm saying? That's what happened there. Now, in the case of Pac, Pac was already locked up. Nobody was willing to put up the money to get him out. Suge jumped at the opportunity. They worked out a deal. Whether it be right or wrong is debatable, you know what I'm saying? But Pac wanted to get out of jail, so he signed the contract. Now, when he got out, he made history. The first double CD, you know, 10 million diamond album. And I'm sure he made Death Row that money, you know, probably 10, 20 times over, you know? Now, is that right? No. But some people could make the case that neither one of them may not have been free if it wasn't for Suge. So they wasn't getting their money, but there is some kind of positive out of it, if that makes sense. Now, the way at Death Row, the way they ran their business at the time, and mostly every artist says this, was that Suge Knight wasn't paying the artists what he owed them, or what they deserve, rather. But even though he wasn't paying them, he would take care of them. You know what I'm saying? And what I mean by take care of them, I mean, if somebody wanted a house, he would buy it. If somebody wanted a car, he would buy it. If they wanted, you know, some money, they would buy it. In other words, you know, they didn't have their own money, but they had access to whatever they wanted. You know what I'm saying? Now, is it better to have your own money? Absolutely. I would never tell you nothing different. But there is a positive out of this. You know what I'm saying? It's not the right way. It's not you know, what people would select if they have a choice. But there is a positive out of this. And this was even said by a couple of artists on Death Row, even still to this day. And some of them were even thankful for it. When he would buy these things, cars, houses, jewelry, whatever, it would be under Death Row's name. You know, it wasn't the artist's name. You know what I'm saying? So even though, let's say, he bought Corrupt a car, you know, the car wasn't under Corrupt's name. Now, anybody that followed the music business, you know what I'm saying, you can see where I'm going with this. A lot of artists, they get signed, they come up in the game. A lot of people don't understand taxes and stuff like that. Like, your value and what you're worth is different from how much money you actually have. You know what I'm saying? I'm taking you to school a little bit. You know what I mean? I'm schooling you a little something. You know what I mean? So there's a such thing called tax. You know what I'm saying? Net worth and gross is two different things. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people that come in, they're not educated on that. And the first thing they do, they go buy jewelry. They go buy houses. They go buy, you know, they buy all this stuff. And then eventually, you know what happens. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you stop making music or things start to slow down. And it comes a time where you might not be able to afford all this stuff anymore. You know what I'm saying? Some people have to downsize. It's a part of life. It's a part of reality. You know what I'm saying? And all this time you have been buying stuff, but you haven't never been saving anything. You know what I'm saying? You haven't been putting nothing away. So now if all these things that you have been buying is under your name and you can't pay taxes, guess what? Guess what the IRS is coming for? They're coming for that car. They're taking your most prized possessions. You know what I'm saying? They trying to get this. They trying to get that. Well, they can't take those things if it's not under your name. They can't take that from you because technically it doesn't belong to you. So you're not responsible for none of that stuff that you had whenever things come crashing down. So guess what? When the record label started declining and, you know, they wasn't up to par no more, none of the artists went bankrupt or had tax problems or anything because none of that stuff was under their name. And believe me, a lot of people, a lot of artists are thankful for that. A lot of artists are thankful for that. I actually heard a couple of Death Row artists speak on that, and they thankful for that because they know all the stories that go around involving artists as far as tax and money and stuff like that. Now, real quick, about Pac and Big before I take it back to Diddy. There's all kind of stories about Pac and Big, you know, before they passed away, you know, regarding was they happy with the record label? Was they about to leave? Do they feel like they wasn't getting paid, you know, with the money? They ain't like their money situation and all kind of stuff. It's like give or take, man. It depends on who you talk to, man. A lot of people say Big was leaving to go and start Junior Mafia. A lot of people say Pac was leaving to start, you know, Death Row East, One Nation, rather, you know what I'm saying? Oh, it's conflicting stories, man, and neither one of them are actually here to really tell it, you know what I'm saying? So I guess it's like, depending upon who you talk to, because there's a million different opinions on that out there, you know what I mean? And we'll never get it from the actual source. But getting back to Diddy, man, the locks went to war with that cat, man. It was an all-out war for a long time over their masters, over, you know, getting paid for writing and all kind of stuff, man. You know what I'm saying? And again, the locks along with Mace is what kept the Bad Boy name alive. You know what I'm saying? That's like all he had, you know, at the time. Black Rob didn't debut yet. Loon, G-Dep, and all those guys came later. So, like, this is all he had, you know? And the Locks, they came in and they did one album with him and they left. And what kind of took the cake for me is when Jadakiss did an interview and he used the example of the song All About the Benjamins. He said that, you know, of course he got a verse on that song. And he also said that he wrote Diddy's verse. And then he went on to say, when he wrote Diddy's verse, Diddy actually gets paid for that as if Diddy wrote it. Now, let's stop and think about this for a minute. Diddy owns the masters to that song. He owns the recording of Jadakiss. Jadakiss wrote his verse. He actually gets paid off of that. So it's like, I wrote a verse on the song. I wrote your verse. And I don't get nothing out of being on that classic song. I don't get paid for anything, any work that I put in on that song whatsoever. Now, come on now. That's next level. That's just like, regardless of what the contract says, I gotta say, if you write this song for me, I gotta do something for you. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's next level. Now, on the other end, you know, Suge is not rapping. Suge is not producing. And Suge is not in no video either. Or none of that. So there's no confusion on that end whatsoever. Just wanted to throw that out there. Now, not to take nothing away from Diddy, man. A smart businessman, man. One of the smartest to ever do it. He's a trendsetter. You know what I'm saying? He actually didn't make most of his money off of music, man. He did the restaurant thing. The clothing. Sean John is like, we'll put him on. You know what I'm saying? And all the outside ventures, man. You know what I'm saying? Smart businessman, man. Second to none. You know what I'm saying? Can't take nothing away. Now, at the end of the day, you know what I mean? All those artists on Bad Boy and Death Row, they all grown. You know, neither Diddy or Suge is responsible for what other people do with their lives, you know what I'm saying? Especially grown men and stuff like that. But it's just like, unfortunately, like, if you're the head of the table and, you know, you're known as the face, you're known as the owner, you're going to be tied to the people that work for you and the people that work with you. You know what I'm saying? And it's just unfortunate, man, when you hear stories like, you know, Black Rob, you know, G-Dep, Loon. Loon is doing time, you know what I mean? Big time. Shout out to Loon. When you hear stories like that, whether it's fair or not, you know what I'm saying? It kind of like, it makes people look at Diddy. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's fair or not, whether it's deserving or not. You know what I'm saying? I think it's unfair, you know? But it's how life is. When you hear some of these stories, you know what I'm saying, about artists, you know what I mean, the first thing people ask, well, was the label paying them? You know what I'm saying? That's just the first place that people go look. You know what I'm saying? It's like second nature. You know what I'm saying? And what I like to do, you know, how I judge a businessman, how I judge an entrepreneur and a rap mogul, I look at the people that you have under you. Like, what are they doing? You know, that's how I judge you. If you a businessman and you teach ownership, some of the people that's under you should be just as good as you, should become just as good as you or better. You know what I'm saying? And at the very least, they should go on and start owning their own businesses and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I judge. And since we're judging off of that, when I look at the people that was under Suge or with Suge, Dr. Dre is a billionaire. Snoop now actually owns Death Row. Tupac's estate is still going strong. Daz Dillinger, you know what I'm saying, one half of the Dog Pound. He owns his own masters. You know what I'm saying? He's doing his thing. And that's not everybody on Death Row, but that's a pretty good stable. You know what I'm saying? And when you look at Bad Boy, I don't think they could match that. You know, it took a long time, but the Locks are now cool with him. But you just got dissed by your right-hand man, which was Mace. And on the other end, you know, not too long ago, it's been a little while ago, but Snoop came out with a song giving props to Suge. You know what I'm saying? And two of Suge's former artists, Dre and Snoop, just took over the Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? The greatest halftime show ever. The greatest Super Bowl halftime show ever. You know what I'm saying? So I got to give the edge to Suge. You know what I mean? Things ain't start off right, but in the end, you know what I'm saying? He has the better resume. And I must say, man, before closing, man, looks are deceiving. You know what I'm saying? I guess it's a late 90s thing, maybe, because, man, you know, Michael and Scotty, I thought they were boys, man. You know, you look at that chemistry on the court, and it was like, man, you know, they got to be cool in real life. You know what I'm saying? And I wasn't a big Bad Boy fan. Of course, I listened to their music and everything. But Diddy and Mace gave me that same type of vibe. You know what I'm saying? Because it always seemed like they was together. You know what I mean? And in both cases, with Michael and Scotty and Diddy and Mace, both cases, I've come to find out that it was never true. It was never real. You know what I'm saying? It was just about business. You know? And there's room for everybody out here, man. There's room for us to all get our money. There's room for us to all make a name for ourselves. And it's definitely room for all of us to become great. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to get my partner, Godstar, to come from out behind the scenes now. You know what I'm saying? And start a show. You know what I'm saying? He got me out here as the face of the franchise. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to get him out here now. You know? It's something I've been doing for a while. You know what I'm saying? Maybe one day he'll come out. You know what I'm saying? Who knows? But anyway, this has been an episode of the Slackest Talk Podcast, a.k.a. The Talk of the Town. Now, I'm your host, film producer Jason Slack. As always, thanks for rocking with me. And we'll be back again next week here on The Talk of the Town Now.
You're listening to the Slack Is Talk Podcast, a.k.a. The Talk of the Town Now. Find out what's going to happen next.